Okay, don't
Blog Talk Radio.
Up, okay?
Clap your hands for Angela.
Hello, hello, and welcome to Show Talk with Angela Butler. The guest on the show is LaJuan Love, LaJuan Diggers. Welcome to the show, LaJuan. How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm great. I'm great. So you recorded with the owner of Luke Skywalker Records. Am I correct?
Yeah, it started out as Luke Skywalker Records, but because of trademarks and trade names and things like that, it was later changed over to Luke Records.
Okay, Luke Records. Yeah, all right.
We'll refer to it as Luke Records, but, yeah.
So you were a teen sensation back in the late 80s and early 90s, maybe to mid-90s?
Yeah, some would say that.
Yes. So how old were you when you first started to rap?
I got serious about it at the age of 10. I heard T. La Rock, It's Yours, and Run DMC, Suck MC. It wasn't the first time that I heard Suck MC, but it was just something about it when I heard T. La Rock, It's Yours. And at that point, I said, I want to be a rapper. And,
okay.
You know, 2 years later, I'm in the game professionally.
All right. That is great. That is great. So, when did you sign your first record label?
Say again?
How old were you when you signed with your first record company?
How old was I when I signed?
Yes.
Oh, I was 12 years old.
You were 12 years old?
I was 12 years old.
You were young.
I think I was
very young.
I was maybe like 11, 12 years old. I think I was about 12.
And you signed with Luke.
Yeah, okay. I signed with Luke Records.
What I have to ask is how did you make it through? I mean, some child stars use drugs, end up on drugs, or they lose their money to bad investments, or the money is stolen. Some even end up, dead, like Michael Jackson, because Michael Jackson, it was a great talent. I mean, he was phenomenal. Really dance and sing, but we know how his life ended up. So how did you cope with the pressure and stress of being a child star and make it through?
Well, before I got into the music industry, I was already under a lot of pressure. Childhood. So the music industry was a bigger eye-opener, but I was faced with a lot of harsh realities in life very early. You know, I grew up in Miami, Liberty City, Overtown, and, you know, I just manage, you know. Kids pick up on things very quickly, at least most kids do. But I just had a knack I was blessed to just maneuver and get an understanding of things with a childhood perspective. I just applied what I knew those few years of, you know, being a kid.
Okay. Did it affect your studies in school, your classes?
No, not really. What I did was, you know, school came first. That was part of the contract. The part of the agreement is that if my grades fell to a certain level, that I would, you know, career would be suspended. You couldn't necessarily stop the contract, but some contracts you can suspend them, or you can cancel a contract. But one of the important things was to make sure that my grades were maintained. So it was always school first, and then the music.
Oh, okay, so that's how your recording contract was set up. Okay. Okay, what was it like working with Luke?
At the time, you know, I was fascinated at first, because I would hear the music. I lived in the neighborhood. I would see, you know, the kids going to the teen club. I couldn't go at the time. So at first I was fascinated. I was excited about it. I was really excited about rap. And after I got past the excitement, I learned that, you know, these people that I once looked up as stars were, you know, average people. You know, they got up in the morning, they had things to do, they had friends, they had family. I got to see the other part of the artists, the natural and their natural environment. So it was real. That part was humbling and it was different, but those guys took real good care of me. So most people would think because of the music, the type of music and the concert, you know, that's what it was 24 hours a day. But, you know, those guys, you know, they made sure that I was safe and protected, sheltered, and that I did, you know, in some cases, as much as possible, stay in a child's place. So it was a good experience. It was a lot of balancing to go along with it because I'm in an adult environment.
Okay.
But when it was time to get down to business, it was time to get down to business. Whether you're 12 or 21, it was time to go get that paper.
Time to go get that paper. That's that money. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So you're famous for the song, your Feel Good album, and your songs, Everybody Said Yeah, Jock and Robin, and things like that. How does that make you feel when you hear the music and your songs as a hip hop artist back then, a rap artist? What do you think about when you hear it?
When I did Everybody Say Yeah, it all happened. It happened naturally, to me at least, and it happened fast because I didn't just I just didn't wake up one day and say, hey, I want to be a rapper. You know, how it actually started was, well, to answer the question first, is that I would get nervous. I would get butterflies. The first time I heard it on the radio, I was like, wow, I'm getting up in the morning to go to school, and every morning my song is playing on the radio. And it was like living two lives. Like, on one end, you know, I got to go to school and be a student. And then after school is over, I have to go and entertain. So initially, it was exciting. I was really, really excited about it. But after a while, shortly after that, it became work real fast. So it was a good feeling. It was different. I don't have a whole lot of experiences that I can compare to that.
Oh, okay. So, did you ever perform with Luke or Two Live Crew at all?
We recorded a song called "I'm Down with Luke" to Luke from the Posse or something like that. It was called. It was initially called "I'm Skywalking." At the time, it was some other artists on the label from Public Enemy had broken up with Professor Griff, and they were going through their thing. So they started a group called The Last Asiatic Disciples, and so they were on the label. And some other artists were on the label, and we did this. It was, you know, a bunch of artists on this one track. As far as music, that's the only song that I did with them. I'm Skywalking. But we had to change the name again because we couldn't use Skywalker or anything related to that. So we changed it to Luke from the Posse. I'm Down with Luke in the Ghetto Bass Sound. But as far as performances, live performances, we did a bunch of shows together, and we did quite a few shows together throughout the Southeast, out West. We did a few up North, New York, Detroit. So we did shows together. I was usually the attraction for the kids because I was a kid entertainer. And then we would have, you know, different artists in between, and Two Live Crew would headline. Headline, for those who don't know, means to the last artist to go on, they would close out the show.
Okay. Were you the first artist that Luke signed?
No, I wasn't the first artist. He had a couple other groups before me. I was the youngest artist.
Okay.
And I believe I was the first solo artist. I was solo. I believe I was the first solo artist on Luke's label. But the other thing, I was the first to do, rap artist. I was the first rap artist to do the music video before Move Something happened.
Okay. Before they did theirs.
Okay. I'm sorry, say again?
Could you say that again?
No, I was saying that I'm one of the first pioneer artists in Miami.
Oh, okay. All right.
Bass music, solo artist.
Now, back then, even though you're 12, 13 years old, 14 years old, you were like Bow Wow. I mean, Lil Wayne started out real young.
Well, those artists, because of me, those artists, I was the first idea. I was the first kid rapper. So, you know, after that happens, you have Bow Wow, you have Lil Wayne, you have ABC, another bad creation. You have all of these, crisscross, not necessarily in that order, but as far as childhood rappers, I was the first.
You were the first. So what do you think, what are your personal feelings about today's young child stars, such as the ones I named? Do you think they have it easier, or better, or is it harder in today's age?
It's the same. It's hard to say because it's one of those things where even though the playing field is different, you still have to strategize and plan and maneuver. The technology is different. The business model is different. So it still work. But you know, being a pioneer, or you know, the ones that come through early, you know, you plant that seed for a fruit tree or whatever, and the one that plants that seed isn't always the one who reaps the benefit of the shade and the fruit of the tree.
Mm-hmm.
So as far as like personal feelings, you know, it's not really personal. It's just one of those things in life where you do your part and you get out of life what you put in it. And these guys are faced with, you know, business decisions. As far as like the way record sales are, you You have to find new ways to generate income. There are multiple streams of income that people are more familiar with now, or that, you know, that's more known now than it was before, as it should be. But I have a great respect for these artists. They're very entertaining. They work really hard. I haven't met them personally, but, you know, the industry talks, and, you know, reading and watching, looking and observing, you can put 3 and 4 together and get 7.
Okay.
So it's my respect for the artist to know what it is to want to express yourself and know what it is to have a passion for the art, you know. It's good to see these individuals to be in a position and do the things that they do, because they open – there are things that go – many more things that go on behind the scenes than what the public sees on the front end. So it's my hat – I salute them. My hat goes off to them. I salute them.
Okay. Now I have to ask this. As a childhood star, I mean, I used to read stories. I never saw Michael Jackson perform, but I remember seeing on TV and seeing in magazines like Word Up and different magazines, little teeny bopper magazines, about how, I don't know if you remember Word Up, but
I remember
about
Word
how
Up.
The women, with young teenagers, would chase the Jacksons, especially Michael Jackson. What was that like? I mean, being 12 and 13 years old and having 18, 19 women that was older, some that were your own age, did they ever chase you? Because you really were a teen star, a child star. I mean, there's no doubt about that. I mean, all you have to do is research it and look up. You know, you were one of a big child star back then. So, did they chase you?
I was always into girls anyway. I've always been crazy about girls. I have a bunch of sisters. You know, I grew up around women. I got a bunch of sisters. So I've always had, you know, this thing for women. She is the most beautiful thing that God created physically, you know. But as far as, like, you know, girls, I did that all in balance. I missed a few rehearsals, you know, trying to hang with some girl and the show goes crazy, and, you know, you get your little advice like, hey, stay focused, little guy. These girls are going to be around. They're going to always be there. And sure enough, that was true as I don't know what. That was the truest statement, one of the truest statements, that women would always be there. So, you know, the girls, you know, it wasn't really a big issue for me. You know, some girls were attracted to me because of, you know, the stardom and the fame and all of that. And then others were, you know, naturally attracted to me. And then, you know, of course, some wasn't. You know, you can't have them all the time.
Yes.
And who wants them all anyway?
That's true. Okay, I understand. They're the same way for women. We're going to go to break, okay?
Okay, that sounds good.
I'll give you time to rest and pay some bills here. All right, listeners, we have LaJuan Lover, LaJuan Biggers.
LaJuan Love.
On Show Talk with Angela Butler. We're going to go straight.
A special event can be very challenging and stressful at times. Our staff of professionals organizes your event down to every last detail, no matter what size. Our creativity and attention to detail turns your ordinary party into an extraordinary event. And Decline provides world-class service. We coordinate quality events. We can provide travel arrangements, accommodations, event sites, caterers, chorus, photographers, transportation, hairstylists and makeup artists, daily itineraries, and pre-event information such as detailed maps, save-the-date cards, and invitations. Being a custom event planner means that we cater to you. It is our job to find the best possible way to present your event. We have been referred to as Dreamweavers.
When you're searching for the latest news on entertainment, the economy, business, technology, and creative arts, choose
the Digital Conglomerate Magazine.
Not only do they give you all the latest information, but they're there for you 24-7, baby, giving you the 411 and all you need to know, baby. Visit the Digital Conglomerate Magazine online. Just Google us, baby. We're everywhere.
Exquisite Express Incorporated specializes in designing signature solutions to help attract more business. Their creative designs through their associate company, Exquisite Designs, give everyday people insight on the latest fashion, food specialties, technology gadgets, and entertainment. Exquisite Designs also provides barista services through Exquisite Barista. You can read all about what they are doing in their digital and print magazine, Exquisite Fusion. Feel free to give us a call, 1-855-379-2540. 1-855-379-2540.
This is Raquel Charles reminding you to listen to Show Talk with Angela Butler to catch the hottest interviews.
All right, listeners, you're listening to Show Talk with Angela Butler. Tonight's guest is LaJuan Love. Okay, so we were talking about, you know, you being a child star and everything, and the young women and some probably older than you, and the advice you got was to stay focused and everything. But I have to wonder, what did your parents say?
My parents were happy that, you know, they were happy for me. And I don't think they took it as serious as, they didn't take it as serious as I did. I got, you know, good job type of support. But for the most part, I chose, you know, what I was going to write about. And, you know, I made a lot of the decisions myself. My parents were not hands on with the rap career of mine.
So when you said you wrote, did you write your own rhymes?
Yes, I wrote my own songs.
You did?
And,
oh wow!
Yeah, I was a writer. I mean, you know, I was really into poetry. I was always, you know, reading books and things like that. So I taught myself how to freestyle, how to rap, and then I got around Martise from 2 Live Crew. And he came on board and he co-wrote with me as well. So there are songs where all of the songs he has, you know, writer's credits on the songs. But it was basically, hey, here go the beat, make a song. And then after I would make the song, we would go over it and things like that. Say, okay, put this here, place that there. So he gave it a little more professional structure. And, you know, he inspired me a lot with his rhyme style. And he would, you know, he was there beside me as I wrote as well.
Okay. So you're not going to believe this, but I was writing at age 12, too. I wasn't on the level that you were on at 12, but I wrote poetry, and some of it was published in the local newspaper. So, yeah, I know where you're coming from about the writing, because I was writing some books, too, at 12. And, you know, so I know. Yeah, I did. I don't know. I can't explain why I stopped, but I did those things too, but not nearly on the level that you were on. I mean, you know, not nearly.
I got into poetry during my high school years.
Okay.
Because what I found with rap, you know, I was around some R&B artists, Michael Sterling, as a matter of fact. Sterling, I recorded my album in Inner Circle's studio. You know, they have the hit song, Girl, I Want to Make You Sweat, and Bad Boys, they got that. And so I was around, you know, musicians. And with music or with writing, rap, you know, you can get off what you have in mind. You can express yourself. But with poetry,
I want to ask you something. Did you also write the musical notes, or just the words?
Oh, just the words. I didn't do any sheet music or anything like that.
Okay.
But with the with writing, you know, you can say things with in spoken word, which is something I'm still heavy into, that you can't necessarily say in a conversation or in a song or in a rap, but you can, you know, you can express it in spoken word. So I appreciate all of the forms of writing.
Okay. Have you wrote any books or any other songs for any other people or artists?
No, I don't write like that. I've had some requests, but I just never really pursued it. I basically just wrote things that I wanted to do, and, you know, I wrote a few books, some spoken word books, some short stories, things like that. I'm always writing.
Okay, what are the names of some of your books? Let my listeners know, and where can they buy?
it's just you know, unfinished works, nothing that I've published.
Okay.
I'll get with, you know, I have friends that are writers. They write books and screenplays and things like that. So sometimes I'll share ideas, you know, do things like that. But I haven't pursued that serious enough to, you know, even discuss that on air.
Oh,
just,
okay. All right. Understand.
Yeah, just something that I do on the side.
Okay. All right. So, So what are some of your current projects? I mean, I know you're probably still doing some rap and everything. So what are you doing now as an adult?
I'm into business real heavy. Like, because of the lessons learned financially, in the music industry, you know, I went into stock and real estate.
I hate to interrupt you, but can I say this? Ask this. So you invested your money, your money was invested when you were a child, or, I mean.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, like, okay. That, you know, my parents, you know, they was like, well, you're making money, you need to do something with it instead of, you know, shopping all the time. So
okay.
I put aside some money into some, at the time, I started out with mutual funds. And it was just something to preserve capital or whatever. And, you know, I still get, you know, the royalty checks and things like that. But I learned like, hey, you're not going to be 12 all the rest of your life. You're not going to be making records like this. The shows are not going to be, you know, coming like this. And that light started coming on real heavy when it was time to graduate from school. I had to make some decisions about what I was going to do career-wise, school-wise. It was just some of the things that needed to be decided. And financially, that started in the beginning. Even though I didn't know what I know now. But right now I'm into I have an accessory line called Brode. And it's a fragrance. I have a cigar, some shirts and a towel set, some things like that. It's one of my business ventures. I'm into, real estate, security interests and things like that. And I create and provide platforms for artists, for up-and-coming artists to, you know, promote their music, expand their brand, or establish a presence in their network or expand their network. So those are some of the things that I'm into now, business-wise.
Yeah. So you're a businessman. All right, real estate.
Yeah.
Oh, that sounds great. Well, you're not suffering from money. That's what I get from all this. You're very intelligent, and as you already have been told, you were always talented. So
Thank you.
So with your business ventures and everything, and the artists you work with, who are some of the artists? Can you name them, or is that confidential?
I've worked with quite a few artists. And on various levels, I've done projects with, I can go way back, and it's not like I can go back. It's like, you know, 25 years of working with people, but it's not an everyday thing for me. So it's not like I wasn't one of those. I wasn't the type of artist that got in the music industry and just stayed there, even though my relationships are healthy. But I work with artists, JT Money. I've done stuff with him that we did on some projects. I work with different producers, Mike Fresh, and did some stuff with DJ Toomp. Mike Fresh and DJ Toomp did some stuff on an album that wasn't released back in the mid, in like early 90, 91, things like that, just before the Gulf War. We were working on some stuff. And now, lately here, I've done stuff with just different artists in Florida, up-and-coming artists, some guys up in Tallahassee, Total Chaos, Studio 8, those guys over there with Vino, Simo G, and 6-4, he's a R&B singer. You know, some stuff, I recorded some stuff in Trick Daddy's studio, a track that I did called Game Over that I'm promoting with New Breed. Knowledge Born.
Game Over, I remember that one.
Yeah, Knowledge Born is an artist, a good friend of mine that I'm working with. Mr. Charlie from Young and the Restless, they did Poison Ivy and B Girls. We just did some songs together on New Breed. You can check that out at newbreed.com or Knowledge Born TV. I got a few artists that I've worked with and that I'm going to continue working with.
Oh, okay. A few artists, that's a lot. You're humble,
yeah.
Though. Yeah.
Do some stuff
okay.
with
so,
it's some upcoming events that we'll do another. We'll talk again, but it's some other stuff that's coming up that I'll share with you as that
develops. Can you talk about it now?
We'll save it. We'll save it.
Okay, we'll save it. Okay. Well, I understand. So the accessory lines that you're talking about, the cologne, that's cologne, not perfume, right? Is all that for men, or can women buy your products, your merchandise?
It's for men and women. I have it's called Brode for her, Brode for him. The accessory line right now, I had to go back and do some packaging for the fragrancing to make sure that's structured right for the fragrance industry.
Okay.
But it's a unisex line, male and female. And part of it is a fragrance, and I have a cigar. At one point I was into cigars and things like that, so I created a blend through some friends in Tampa, and I got into the cigar circle and things like that. And then, of course, you know, some T-shirts, some polos and things like that just to throw on and, you know, look nice.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right. That's great. So – you're also into real estate, so that is great. That is great. You're definitely a success, and it's not. And you handled the pressure of being a child star very well.
It was either, you know, fly or die.
And you turned out right. You're good.
I'm grateful. I'm just grateful because, you know, you see a lot that goes on. You see some that work so hard and, you know, some give up and some don't make it. They make it, but they don't make it in a way that they call a success, which is still successful. But at some point it becomes relative. Like, you know, if I made a record and, you know, whether I was, you know, 12 or 34, you know, and whether I hit the Billboard charts at number one for, you know, 6 months straight, or, you know, whether I charted, you know, 2 weeks and in the high 80s or whatever, I'm the type of individual, hey, I did it, I'm grateful I made it, you know. I'm not very competitive. I don't compete, but I create. And when with an art, each artist is an individual. That's what makes it unique. And so it's hard to compare. You can compare, but each piece speaks for itself. So I know what it is to have. I've been with and I've been without. I've been famous and I go places and nobody knows me. So I've been on both sides of the fence. And I just call a spade and be grateful for the blessings that I'm healthy and, you know, I got a sound mind and all the limbs, all the fingers and everything work. And anything after that, that's gravy. So.
Yes, that is a blessing. That is definitely a blessing. Yeah. Do you ever talk to Two Live Crew or Luke or any of them? Do you keep in touch?
At times, I'll call and say hello if I can reach him or leave a message, or if we see each other, everything is cordial and respectful, and we're happy to see each other. But it's not like we hang out every day or things like that. Not anymore.
All right. Okay.
At one point, it was an everyday thing. But I see these guys in passing, or sometimes out working. We're out working, they're working, I'm working, and hey, how you doing, bro? And it's a cordial thing. It's a healthy relationship. I keep in contact with Mr. Mix-a-Lot and DJ Slice. I keep in contact with Society. A couple of these artists, I'll call and we'll say, hey, how you doing? And,
okay.
J Love is one up in Atlanta.
Okay.
Yeah.
I have to ask you though. You speak highly of Lil Wayne and the artists of today, but I just have to wonder, what do you think of the current rhymes and hip hop artists? Their songs, not songs, but their CDs. And what do you think about the content of them?
The content is not the best. I mean, these guys are very talented, but if you had two glasses of water and you put them on a table, and one was filthy and one was clean, the natural thing to do is to reach for the clean glass of water. If it's just one glass of water on the table and you need to drink, and it's necessary that you hydrate yourself, and you know, you do what you got to do. Some of the music, I think, is forced upon the public. That could be for a number of reasons. The content is, you know, the content is opinionated. It's an individual's view. But my thing is, you have a social responsibility. You know, rap wasn't originated. The purpose of rap was not for what the message is now. It's been all construed, and the art is misrepresented. In a lot of ways. Not all artists do it, and not all artists do it on every song. And some artists are forced to do it, believe it or not.
Okay.
In their own way, they go back and they contribute, you know, where they can, a good deed or a good service, where they can and when they can. And it comes down to business. So the businessmen that control this industry and write the checks, their thing is, like, you know, if we're in the soft drink industry, we want market share. Like Coca-Cola and Pepsi, they have, you know, millions, you know, billions of dollars. But it's not about the dollar. It's about influence. And influence is about control and power. And music is a very, very powerful element. So it can be a tool or it can be a weapon. And sometimes in the music industry, with the content that's being promoted now, it seems like there's a certain agenda at hand, and it, you know, welcome to life. And it's, life is not fair, but all is fair in war, and all is fair in love. All is fair in love and war. So life is love and war. So I guess you can say life, all is fair. So these guys, they do what they got to do. They say what they got to say. They choose. They make their money, or they lose their money, or whatever it is that they do. But as an artist, I believe that there's a social responsibility, things the dollar just can't buy. You know, the dollar is just another product. It's a means of exchange. It's a Federal Reserve note, like how you have a mortgage note. Or, you know, the Federal Reserve prints money and Coca-Cola prints, you know, produces drinks. So it's just a highly marketed product, and, you know, music is in the mix. There's a lot I can say about the content, but it's not necessarily for me to say, you know, what's right or what's wrong on it. The only thing I can do is be the best man that I could be in the situations that I'm attending.
But I do agree with what you said about social responsibility.
Yeah, you have a social responsibility. Anytime you can influence an environment or a mind in such an effective way, you have a social responsibility to do the right thing. You know, money is always made. Money was here before I got here. It's here while I'm here. It's going to be here when I leave. But, you know, we have our different principles we live by. And right now that's the playing field. That's the order of the day. But it hasn't always been like that. When you look back in the music industry and you listen to the music that was played on the 30s, the 40s, the 50s, the 60s, everything was, most, the majority of it was positive. It was, the vibration of it was inspiring and pleasant. And some of the music now is, but it's not, it's quite different. It's a different playing field.
Okay, different playing field. Okay, all right. So what will the listeners that are listening, what can they expect from you in the future? Are you going to go back and make more CDs and rhyme, or are you just going to be a businessman?
I mean, because you are
successful already, very successful. But
I'm going to always do music. I'm going to do music, and I'll make it available for my fan base and, you know, for sale and to listen to. But I'm going to also pursue my business ventures. And I just always wanted to do the things that I wanted to do in life. And so far, that's what I've been able to do. Everything that I've wanted to do in my life, I've been able to do it to some degree. In some cases, I may not have been able to do it to the full degree, but I've been able to do it to be involved in the things that I enjoy. And those are the things that I'm going to continue to pursue. The business, I like business, and I love music. So I'll continue to write, I'll continue to record, and I'm gonna do both. I'll make a business out of it that's pleasant for me, that works for me. So that's what they can expect.
Okay, that's what they can expect. All right.
Yeah.
So LaJuan Love. Okay.
That's right, baby. LaJuan Love.
That's right. Yeah. you're doing it big still. You know that, don't you?
Well,
yeah.
I guess, you know, I do what I can. I used to do it for support, now I do it for sport.
Oh, okay. Well, you're at the place in your life where you're comfortable. I understand what you mean. You're comfortable, and you can do it without a lot of the pressure of worrying about sales and things, because you're comfortable now. I'm very comfortable, I'm sure, and, you know, you can enjoy your work without a whole lot of pressure.
Yes.
Am I right?
It became one of those things where I was going to either make the industry or let the industry make me. So I decided to find a way where I could maneuver and just handle my business as I see fit, and not have the world paint a picture of what they want me to be.
Okay.
I'm free of other people's opinions, and in the music industry, everybody has an opinion and a view,
yeah,
which they're entitled to. But I keep mine moving in a positive direction.
Positive. That's right. That's right.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I enjoyed interviewing you tonight. I'm sure my listeners enjoyed hearing you. Is there anything else you'd like to tell the listening audience about yourself or any upcoming projects or anything? Or have we covered everything?
Yeah, well, I do have all this situation on creating platforms for up and coming artists. They'll hear more about that. But as an artist, from one artist to another, you know, pursue your dreams. All things are possible, and enjoy the process, whatever it is. And, you know, be a benefit where you can, and an hour every day, that's the code.
That's
so with that, you can get whatever you want done.
Okay. So is this your advice to anybody that's coming up in this day and age in entertainment?
Yeah, I would say my advice is, you know, realize that it is a business. 10% of it is the art. And, you know, study the business. Get informed. Know what you're dealing with. Know what you're doing. And, you know, enjoy what you do as far as being in the music industry, if you're going to choose that route. Make some money in the process. That's it.
All right. Well, thank you for coming on Show Talk with Angela Butler, LaJuan Love. I look forward to having you back. All right.
Okay, we'll talk again soon.
All right, that's fine.
All right.
Thank you. All right, listeners. You just got through hearing LaJuan Love. You may remember he was very much a teen star, teen superstar back in the day, and he's now fully grown, of course, and he's doing very well, and I'm glad to know that. Some of his songs were, as I said before, his Feel Good CD. He had a song, Everybody Say Yeah, and Rockin' Robin. I remember those songs. But listeners, you've been listening to Show Talk with Angela Butler, and I thank you all for listening, and I hope you were well entertained. All right, thank you, and have a good night.
This is Raquel Charles reminding you to listen to Show Talk with Angela Butler to catch the hottest interviews.